We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool into rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah, two sides of the same.
Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.
Random thought. If your landlord is this comfortable in your rented apartment, yeah, your rent is just too damn high.
Well, they don't talk about this in the fine print.
ain't that much fine print around to read, that's for sure. By the way, we'll get to that. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Random Thoughts, episode 34. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, we're going to get to this random thought in a few, and we got to bounce back to something that we just did in the last episode that we covered. Two episodes ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. I think it was two episodes ago. But Memorial Day weekend, man, first of all, I know you didn't go around telling anybody happy Memorial Day. I think we've finally gotten people up past that. And though I think I may have heard one person say it. But how was your Memorial Day weekend? The unofficial start to the summer.
Yeah, it was good. I got a chance to explore, check out a lot of different areas. I've been wanting to look at. Went to a blues festival on Saturday. That was good. Mm-hmm. You know, look around, looking at buying a house, so trying to make this move permanent by, you know, owning again. And got a chance to hang with some family today. Ribs were slamming. My cousins, they're from New Orleans, so she made red beans and rice. And, ugh, it's so good.
Okay, I almost got confused there. You're like, ugh, please don't make them again. Oh.
So good. Well, because sometimes, like, red beans and rice, my gut tells me you're not a red beans and rice guy. But there's times I've gone to restaurants and I want to try their red beans and rice. And I just think to myself, ugh, Popeyes is better than this. This is not great. But then when you have family from New Orleans that makes it, you know it's going to be good. So it was good.
Well, I mean, you know, we do rice and peas, which can either be pigeon peas or kidney beans. So, yeah, it's not the same.
It's not red beans and rice. It's not red beans and rice. Sir.
No, it's. I didn't say it was red beans.
Yeah, he said rice and peas. Get out of here with that. How was your weekend?
It was good, man. Eventful and good. Good time spent with family. And, you know, I actually got on the grill today just for a little bit, you know. But I will say something that really kind of got me throughout the entire weekend. I got on these rabbit holes, right? And I went down this rabbit hole of Steve Austin's Broken Skull podcast, right? And it's him just having these hour and a half to 2 hour conversations with different wrestlers. And an interesting one, and I just thought this was interesting because Diesel is on there. And if you didn't follow wrestling, Diesel was about 6'8" when they billed him as 6'10". But one of the things he did was always put his right hand up like this, you know, like almost like, you know, pulling the truck. But it doesn't face that way. It was faced. And one of the things he revealed on there was that actually he did that in honor of Tommy Smith and John Carlos in the 1968 Summer Olympics, that iconic pose on the medal stand for the 200-meter final.
It's the only time I ever came back as Diesel right here.
Who came up with that trademark right hand?
Honest to God, when they gave me the black glove,
yeah,
I did it for Mexico City 68.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It was always an underground... You know,
but that was inspired by that, but it wasn't a political statement.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I thought that was really interesting, especially when Steve Austin's like, well, yeah, but that was just you just did that just because it wasn't a political statement, huh? And he goes, no, actually, yes, it was.
Steve was like, all right, so moving on.
That's the part that really got me, because he's like, yes, yes, it is. He's like, oh, well, moving on. Which is what I think some people are trying to do with this roast of Kevin Hart, right? Something popped up. I noticed Chelsea Handler, she appeared on Deion Cole's podcast, and she was talking a lot about Shane Gillis and Tony Hinchcliffe. Did you catch anything from what she said, and did it change your mind about this roast of Kevin Hart? Because you like the roast.
Hold on. Let's make sure we clarify. The roast is what I expected it to be. And I said, were there some jokes in there that were out of pocket? Sure, but don't complain about it on social media. Do something about it. That's what I was saying.
Well, no, what you said was don't complain, because it ain't going to do nothing.
It's not going to do, posting on social media is not going to do anything. Yeah, I still stand by that. Still stand by it. I heard her point, and I think she had a couple good things out of that. She was saying how at these roasts, yeah, you know, it's going to be edgy and all that, but normally it's like, come up with something that's creative and funny. And that, you know, Shane and Tony and them, they hit her with the stuff that she would just expect, that she felt like an amateur would do. Like, if you guys are the best, you should be writing stuff that is funnier instead of just saying the shock and awe thing for clickbait. Right. Because I think Shane Gillis does that a lot in his stand-up. He says all kinds of stuff. We know Tony does it. And it doesn't matter the audience. He just talks about whatever. But I think he does it for the click factor. So I did agree with her on that, that if you're going to come to that roast, like, say something. She said that, what are they going to say to me, that, you know, I'm old and, you know, I'm a whore? Yeah, and that's what they did. But right. They could do better. So I get it.
Okay, so it seems like the internet split on this whole thing, right? Because Chelsea Handler did call them racist, bigots, sexist. And, you know, when you say the R word nowadays, people get extremely defensive. And it gets to the point, though, I think, where is it ticking off one side just to increase that value on the other side, right? Because if you tick off one side of this country's gotten so split politically, right, that if you tick off one side, the other side dives in even more. Stick a Mule is a perfect example. He goes up and says, I'm supporting Trump. And then all of a sudden, people are on his social media doing what you said doesn't do anything, which is a perfect example to prove your point, which is they're like, well, we're not ordering from you anymore. Da, da, da. And other people are like, well, I'm ordering more now.
I'm ordering twice as many.
So did you hurt him or did you help him, right? Yeah. And I wonder if that's the play for a lot of people now. Let's just pick a side and go, because regardless, you're going to tick somebody off, you're not going to tick somebody else off, or you're going to encourage somebody else off to even support you more.
I think that's just where we are as a country, right? If you think about Kyle Rittenhouse, right? All these people that, you know, put up money to help him, and you had all these people who couldn't stand him, right? And I think when it comes to this situation with Chelsea and these guys, I think that they are shocking all comedians. That's what they do. What I do think that we have to be careful of calling people certain things, you know, that if we don't really know for sure. So I don't think it's fair for, if someone told me, hey, Yanni is racist, I had someone. Somebody did tell you that. Yeah, so tell me that's true. And I'm just like, no, he's not.
They were looking in the mirror when they said that and thought their name was Yanni, but go ahead.
But I was like, no, he's not. Just because we talked about some of the stuff from the podcast, Yanni is not racist. It's not like he only likes black people.
One day we need to go back and pull that clip, because the fact that he thought that was racist off of something that was said that had absolutely nothing to do with race means an entirely different thing about that person.
Right.
But go ahead.
But I think it's just dangerous for us to make those claims of somebody is racist, somebody is sexist, somebody is, you know, a big, don't know for sure. I'm a big believer, and I feel like I have to do this across the board. If I don't really know you, I can't really vouch for you and say that's not true. But I also can't say it's a lie, you know, or it is true. I don't know. So I kind of kind of stay back from that. So I wish she'd have done that. But if she knows for fact that these exes of theirs are saying that they're racist, hey, bring them on your podcast and let's hear some examples.
I'm about to say, because that is something that she did say, that she knew exes and they told her things. So she kind of, and you know what? Behind closed doors, people are what they are, right? People say things that they like. There are things that are said when these mics aren't on, right? There are things that are said when you're not out in public. That is that the true person, or is what people see in public that? Because at the same time, what we're seeing is clips. A lot of times,
yeah,
anything is click worthy now and clip worthy. And when you see clips, do people take these clips out of context? Now, with Tony Hinchcliffe, think about this. That's not the first time he's told that joke.
Yeah.
And you know what I've seen on social media more recently? That same thing of looking up. I've seen that joke again. And here we are still talking about this jackass again. I mean, to your point, oh, he's a big deal. Great. Not my cup of tea, so I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, he was hilarious on the roast of Tom Brady, and he hit everybody really good, and it was good. This one, I was like, swing and a miss, but I didn't expect anything less of him because that's just who he is. His Kill Tony thing, I told you, I can't stand that deal on Netflix. But, you know, it is a clip, right? And how do we, I mean, look at what we do with reality shows. You know, what we're seeing are edits. And we have to make opinions and we make conversations based off what we saw in the edit. So we're part of the problem too.
Okay. I saw this question online, right? And the question, and I think I know the answer to this, right? And I even like to play devil's advocate in this part of it, because it says, can white comedians joke about black trauma? And I guess, well, let's start there on that question. Can white comedians joke about black trauma?
I think it depends on what they joke about. If a white comedian said what Chris Rock said about Africa, that it's so far that there's still people on their way here, right?
Yeah.
Now, if a white comedian said that, to me, it's still funny. I think the hard part is the joke that was made was connected to something that hurt and impacted all of us. Well, let me back up. That impacted a lot of people in a way that really changed a lot of what was going on from socially. So I think that one maybe is, you could have picked a whole bunch of other black jokes besides that one. You could have done a whole lot of them besides that one.
Oh, and it's funny that you picked that joke, because I didn't know you were going to pick that one out of all of them, right? And let's be honest, if anybody said it, you said you'd still find it funny. There are a lot of people who wouldn't, just because now you're going back and talking about slaves and bring that back into it, right? There are white comedians who do joke about the black experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ones I don't like is the ones that degrade everything else and make it as if the black experience is the greatest of all time, because you don't know. And they're doing the self-deprecating comedy to say, oh, well, I don't understand this, right? I think it's, but you have people who, like Gary Owen, who now he's married to a black woman, was married to another black woman, has black kids. So does that give, people have invited him to the cookout for a long time. There are other white comedians, Bill Burr, married to a black woman. Before I knew he even was dating, seriously, honestly, a black woman. He made a joke about going on a date with a black woman. Didn't know he was talking about his future wife at the time. But it's how the joke is done. So Can white comedians joke about it? It's not the joke. It's how the joke is delivered. What's in the joke, right? And you can't say, oh, well, Chris Rock said it, so I can say it too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I agree with that, that it's all about how the joke is done. But I also think there are certain jokes maybe should be off limits. If you're going to make jokes about, was it Sandra Bland, you know, George Floyd, like different things, like that's
different.
Those wounds are fresh for some people still, especially their families. And so there's so many other jokes you could have did besides that. So, I mean, I just think it, how they deliver it, but also it just depends on what they are talking about.
delivery matters. When you look at someone like Russell Peters, you look at someone who like Andrew Schultz. I mean, let's take Andrew Schultz, because Russell Peters is not white, obviously, but Andrew Schultz is. But Andrew Schultz can go in any community and joke on that exact community.
Yeah.
Right? And the people in the audience are not offended because of the delivery.
Right.
And what, and the subject matter.
Right.
I mean, you'll sit there, you'll laugh and don't even understand the joke in because of the way it was delivered.
Right.
Right? Like, I've heard him make jokes about Hawaii. I've never been. But the shit was funny.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's degrading, because there's the difference, right? And I think that there comes a point where some people take it a little too far. Others are saying that comedians are hiding behind it. It's just jokes to avoid criticism. I mean, we did get a little too sensitive on jokes. Have we just gone, has the pendulum swung too far the other way? And is it ever going to come back to the middle where we can have jokes? Because black comedians have made jokes about white people for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the old Friars Club roasts, the one they did on Richard Pryor, and all that, historically, they have always pushed the limits. Even before you can publicize some of the stuff that they've said in the past, they've always pushed the limits. And so I think that, are they trying to hide their true agenda behind it's just a joke? I don't know. I can't say that. I do think that there should be some level of thought put into it. But also, here's this part. You know, I wouldn't tell Picasso how to paint. So I think it's hard to tell a comedian, hey, it's okay for you to be funny, but don't say that because it bothers me. But it might not bother this other person that's sitting next to me in the same, you know, arena. But I don't like it, so I want you to stop because it bothers me. I think that it's a fine line that we get into when we try to police what people can say, because it might bother you, but it might not bother the 10 other people in the same row.
So I guess the question for everybody else is, should comedians be allowed to joke about literally everything, or should some topics stay off limits? And I think that's just too easy of a question. What shouldn't they be allowed to talk about? Hit us in the comments and let us know.
You ever notice that comedians talk a lot about their wives, and then next thing you know, they're divorced? Divorce rate is high for comedians.
Because the best jokes are rooted in truth.
Yeah, you don't talk about your wife. Like, talk about everybody.
Everything's funny until the joke is on you.
No, it's all great as long as y'all stay together. But y'all start getting ready to get divorced, them jokes are going to come back up.
Yeah, those jokes came back up for certain. I think Gary at one point, it showed up in his divorce proceeding.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for hanging with us, man. Whether you're watching this first as one of the regulars or later as one of the randoms, please do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
And if you really want to support the channel, join the regulars by becoming a member. Use the shortcut and scan the QR code. Oh, right on this. I always do that. Scan the QR code on the screen. It's less than $3 a month. You'll get custom emojis, early access to Random Thoughts and RGRT Pod reaction videos, and more, including members-only live streams for story time. Terrell.
Yeah, there's some interesting ones coming up at 10K subscribers. So let's get it up.
Yeah,
let's get it up.
We're going to do another one this week. We got to do one this week.
Definitely got to do one this week. By the way, just follow along here. Left hand. Okay, good. Just making sure you know which is your
left. Well, I know it's my left, but the problem is when I point, I'm pointing the wrong way.
Yeah, because your camera's flipped.
Yeah, I know. So I'll go like this.
Just think, it's always going to be over your left shoulder until I move it.
Okay, Captain America. On your left.
On your left. Hey, since you made it this far, do us a favor, drop a comment below. You can answer the question from before or just leave the word jokes, okay? J-O-K-E-S, jokes. And to all our podcast fam listening on your favorite app, thank you, too. Leave us a 5-star rating and a quick review. It really does help. As we dive into the comment section, I'm really starting to like this one because, you know, we do read every comment. But and sometimes our response to them is a little short. I like the fact that we're able to get a chance to give a little bit more in this segment the comment section where we go diving into a previous episode and checking out the comments, like this one from Pink Butterfly, who dropped some advice that came from her grandmother. So my grandmother would say, never think your stuff is platinum. Someone will do more and better than you. Don't pull a muscle trying to do tricks in bed.
Mm.
Okay, true. Which makes me question, what other great advice have you gotten from mom, dad, drunk uncle, aunt, the older cousin, grandmother, grandfather,
yeah,
or just anyone in general? Is there a specific piece of advice you got from somebody when it comes to dating that you're like, you know what? That kind of makes sense. Or
yeah,
I'm absolutely not doing that crap.
Yeah. God, so many things I can think of, but I'll think of one that I got from my uncle. Everybody has that cool uncle that, you know, you look up to and whatever. So that's him. And he told me, I never let the same dog bite me twice. So in other words, if you're in a relationship and it goes bad, don't get back with her. Don't give her another chance. Don't let them bite you twice. They hurt you one time, be done.
Is that why you never spin the block?
Partially. Well, not many people have hurt me. The ones that have hurt me, I didn't spin the block on.
Right.
If you hurt me, I didn't spin the block with you at all. It was the Wednesday, baby. There was no issue there. It just kind of faded out. Our season was over. And it's like, oh, hey, you know, how you been? Hey, you. Oh, come on, Facebook. Hey, folk.
Hey, big head. It's interesting about that going back too, because it's the reason you broke, you get back with an ex, it's immediate. The fire is back, everything, like, dang, yes, I missed this. And then 10 seconds later or after,
yeah,
you go, that's why.
This is why we ended it. Yeah, that moment of clarity that happens to all of us at some point where we're like, oh. What am I doing?
That's why.
What? Oh, this. This is why. Yeah, no, I don't think I, like, if I were to spin the block, it had to be someone like from my long past. You couldn't be any like recent relationship.
Right.
But someone I dated back in, you know, 2010 or something. Okay, sure. We could spin the block. Lots have changed since then. But if I think of the last relationships I've had since 2020, no, not a one.
Smart man. Smart man. You know, I think of, I can't think of advice that was given to me that way. My cousin always talked about my grandmother telling him, always marry someone who loves you more than you love them. And I never liked that piece of advice. Mm. And I don't know whether he made that up or she actually did tell him that. And if so, bad advice. Because I think that sets you up to do something wrong. If you're like, because somebody, think about that for a second. That person's like, whatever you like. And you're like, you know what? I think I'll like the K. Michelle special, which is I do what I want. I just won't pay anybody else's bills.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's bad advice, because I even on one of our podcasts, I said that. I said, you know what I think I need is to like somebody more than they like me. And that would
But that's the opposite of what my cousin said, my grandma told me. So obviously you took that the wrong way.
No. Because I knew the other way wasn't going to work for me. If someone really liked me and I didn't like them, that's when I thought to myself, you know what? I need to find someone I like more than they like me. And that would be great. No, it's bad. Don't do it. It should be even Stevens. We like even each other the exact same, and we don't get super close until we both are at that same level, and that's it.
My wife and I actually have this discussion, because I'm like, yeah, I liked you more than you like me. She's like, no, I liked you more. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be our first fight.
Y'all are so annoying. You're so annoying.
What?
I like you more you like me. No, I like you more you like me. Look, you hang up. No, you hang up. Okay, on three. One, two, three. You hang up. You hang up.
Y'all we'll do it like my daughter.
Boop. Yeah, no, too cute. It's annoying. Tell her I said.
My bad.
Tell her I said.
Oh, trust me, she's hearing you right now. Right, babe. this one came in from Troy versus Everybody. It's a serious question. And this has to do with this whole dating thing again. But for some strange reason, we get a lot of these comments on dating, right? So we know all these women who think a woman making 200,000 plus a year shouldn't date down, quote unquote, date down with men who that make 60K. Mm-hmm. Why these same women think it's okay for their little 200,000 asses to date ballers who make 10 to 20 million a year? Are we anti-dating down or pro-dating down? Why should a man of that type of wealth date down to date poor asses? Troy, tell us who hurt you.
Yeah, Troy, sorry. Sorry to hear that. Whatever she did, don't spin the block. Don't let her bite you twice. Don't let that dog bite you twice.
Apparently that dog bite was terrible.
Well, I think what's important though is that these 10 to 20 millionaire, you know, 10 to 20 million guys, mm-hmm. they don't care what she makes. If she makes 200, right. He doesn't care. He's not worried about your money because he's got it. So he doesn't really care. Now, 200,000 women and a 60,000 guy, it's possible. But you got to find the right guy. You can't be a mooch. Mm-hmm. Can't be the type of dude that's going to, oh, my baby got it. She balling. And making her buy you stuff.
This also got to be, okay, so you talk about the power dynamic, right? And this is where some of that, I think, comes in, because does it then shift the power dynamic, and she may feel, well, I'm already making three times more than three times what you make, and you can't tell me nothing.
Well, it depends. If she's really religious, she's going to say, well, the Bible says you're the head of the household. So she's going to let that $60,000 a year man make some $200,000 decisions that he's not qualified to make. That's on you, ladies, if you do that.
So, I mean, it's an interesting one, though, because you're right. But then, do you just only date within that bracket?
I mean, you can, but it just all depends on what people want, in my opinion. I think you can date in whatever bracket you want. You just got to mm-hmm. accept what comes with that choice that you're making. So if you're a $200,000 person and you don't want to date anybody who makes less than $200,000, you can do that. But you got to look at how many people are making that kind of money.
So you're saying the dating pool just...
It gets a lot smaller. Yeah, your options are going to be limited. And then you also got to think to yourself, just because you make $200,000 don't mean they want your black behind. You know, just because you make money doesn't mean you're going to get the lady. You know, it's not that easy. You got to be able to have something else. And especially if she makes equal amount of money, your money is not that big deal to her. She makes that too. So what do you bring to the table?
Besides, for the fellas making the 200, the 250, the 300, you got to remember, you probably have a pool and a pool boy. We've all seen the movies.
That's why you don't get no pool. Well, we ain't getting no pool. That's when the above ground pool started to make a big comeback. Oh, you want a pool?
We got a hot tub in the bathroom. That's enough.
You got jets and everything. I'll bring you some wine. I'll fan you, whatever you need.
I'll bring you a new nozzle every month. This one's got 15 speed. Hey, we do appreciate everybody who leaves the comments. Please do. Again, we do read them all. We do try to comment on them all, and we love to bring them to the comment section because you guys are hilarious, man. Back to this random thought, because if your landlord is this comfortable in your apartment, your rent is just too damn high. This happened in Michigan where this couple was getting alerts on their home security camera while they were in the hospital with a sick parent, right, or grandparent. Mm-hmm. And apparently, the landlord was inside the apartment, not fixing anything, not inspecting anything, not doing what he was supposed to be doing, but allegedly having sex on their floor. Now, the story goes viral, right? Social media reports, news coverage, and it's really because of this reporter, because, okay, I can't even explain it anymore.
His wife started getting alerts from their security cameras on her phone.
She just
pointed the phone to me, and I seen him just doing what he was doing right here in our house.
Was it live?
It was live. Live footage.
Oh, my God.
Time stamped and everything.
Bonnet down, legs up for about an hour. I'm wondering.
Yo, she wrote that and said, oh, I can't wait. Bonnet down, legs up for about an hour. Yeah. Don't forget that last line, because that landlord, when they went to his house, that was no spring chicken. No. But apparently, the blue pill works.
Clarence Carter still got it. You stroke it. That's what I be doing. And kudos for him to having the bonnet down. You know, and see how we do that with the bonnet on anyway.
I must say, Terrell, are you renting out any properties?
No, that story is wild. And imagine if they didn't have the cameras, the security cameras. You know, so I have them. I don't have them. Well, I have security cameras. I have to say where how I have them, but I have security cameras. So at least I can tell in my front door, I get that little, it whistles at you and it gives me an alert that somebody walked by my front door. So I could see all that. I don't know what I would do if I come home or I look on my phone and I'm seeing my landlord having sex, you know, in my house. Because like, what do you do? You still got a lease.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I don't know if there's a way that you can try to say, well, it's not out of the lease that I can't do that. I don't know if there's a legal way to get around it or something. Maybe old boy from Age of Attraction was the lawyer. Oh, okay. Yeah, Jorge might find a loophole in that lease agreement. But what do you do? You know, what can they say? Okay, I'm sorry. Next month's rent's on me. That still doesn't make it right.
Okay, because that's, here's the thing that people have been saying. And this is why you love the comment section, right? Because people are like, oh, I know rent is free for the next 3 months. You can try that. However.
Doesn't take the fact that I watched you bust all over my floor or on my couch.
Okay, also, if you don't pay the rent, you can get evicted, right?
Right.
It goes in your credit report, right?
Right.
So you still have to pay it. Now, that makes it a little harder to make that payment when you know somebody did this in your space. My question, and this is going to be to anybody who is, and you may have to look at the lease, but is there a way, okay, what you just did means I can break my lease right now or any given time that I want because that's an invasion of our privacy in our space.
I need to do more than that because let's play that out.
Yeah.
You know, I can break the lease wherever I want. That means I got to go out and find another place. True. I got to put down another deposit.
True.
I got to figure out movers. I got to do all that work. I got to take time off. True. To be able to do all that. Hopefully I don't pull a muscle to eventually get out. Then I still got to go back and clean the first place because I can't just leave it because that's part of the lease too. No, you owe me something. You would have to give me compensation. I should be able to break my lease whenever I want because of this, but there should also be a lawsuit, and I'd probably shoot for like $100,000 and sue the landlord and the owner because those could be two different people.
True.
But I'm going to hit both of them. Somebody's paying me some money. I'm not saying I got to be rich off of it, but I want at least $50,000-$60,000.
Mm-hmm. So that's why you go shoot for the $100,000 so you can settle for the $50,000-$60,000, but you still want to be able to get out and move whenever you want to immediately. Because you can't trust this person in there, especially once you sue them. You know they're coming up in your spot after this. You got to keep moving them cameras around.
My question is
each day the camera's in a different spot.
Has he been in there before?
That's the question, right?
Yeah, has he been in there before? Whatever that's just weird. And like you have your own place. Why would you? Well, I don't know. I can't talk because I remember University Oaks, that model apartment, University Oaks, UTSA, when I was an RA. Yeah, I brought people into the model. But nobody was living in it. It was a model.
There are people going in and sitting on that couch.
I wasn't messy back then. How do women put a towel down? It'll be fine.
You know, you wouldn't think of this, and you're probably going to judge me because of this, right? But this woman that laid her behind and her bonnet on that carpet,
mm-hmm.
and her legs up in the air, how do you know these folks in that house weren't walking around with their outside shoes on that floor?
Oh, jeez.
Who knows what you're laying down in? Who knows what you're laying down in? Oh, you nasty ass.
Or you could say you kind of respect this landlord and his guest because they could have easily got on their bed with their outside clothes on and proceeded to have relations. They were nice enough to say, you know what? Let's do it here on the floor.
In the makeup.
I don't want to mess up these people. I don't want to mess up these people's comforters or whatever. So do it right here on the floor. No better time than could the present.
Right. Could have been on the couch. You're right. The dining room table.
Yeah, but that was planned because you can't tell me. Well, let me change this. I find it hard to believe that somebody's just gonna look at someone in a bonnet going, I can't wait to get in there.
You don't know what else she was wearing besides the bonnet. It could have been them sweatpants. He said, for some strange reason, I want to go to the produce department. Come here, girl. The melons are calling. You know, I can't imagine, and we joke about this, but I'll be honest with you, I can't imagine what this couple must feel like, because somebody broke into my house before and mm-hmm. I felt violated. Imagine somebody in your place, the neat freak that you are, doing that in your place, right back there over your right shoulder.
At least it's on the tile, not on the carpet.
Now you say at least until you slip and slide.
The wet jet. The wet jet. Just clean that bad boy right up.
The question is, I know I asked it to you and I asked it to everybody else. If something this wild happened in your apartment, what is your next move? Terrell already said his. He's going to demand the move anytime he wants and sue the landlord and the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because now you're looking at, okay, let's get my 100 grand and let it come down to 50 or 60 and I'll be good.
Yeah.
Roll out. What would you do? Leave that in the comment section below. Speaking of what you would do, I would love to say I'm torn at this next story, but I'm not.
Mm.
I saw this headline. Woman calls out Delta flight attendant after child allegedly kept kicking her seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why the flight attendant? Right?
Yeah.
So apparently, the woman says a child was repeatedly kicking her seat during a flight. She complained and says that the flight attendant didn't properly handle the situation. Was like, oh, it's just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, between the, I tell you what, you take my seat, I take your jump seat conversation that I would have had with the flight attendant, they said, oh, it's just a kid. The question becomes, is this on the flight attendant, on the kid, on the parent? Or, hey, it's a child. Calm your ass down.
Yeah. So, if I'm not mistaken, the woman told the mom first, hey, can you tell your kid to stop kicking my chair? You know, because he was kicking it for about 10 minutes before departure.
9 minutes too long.
And then the flight attendant apparently, which I kind of don't believe this part of it, but the flight attendant apparently tells her that she has no right to tell this mom what to do, and it's just a kid. I'm just thinking to myself, I can't imagine a flight attendant being that dumb to say, hey, you have no right to tell her what to do. That's not how you handle that at all. So I just struggle believing that the flight attendant was just
okay,
totally dismissive. Hey, you can't talk to her like that, the way the person describes it. Now, I think it's on the mom. It's on the mom to control that situation. And
yeah.
You can switch seats, move the kid to a different seat, let him kick someone else's chair, not this lady's. Win, right? If I'm in that front seat, win for me. As long as my chair's not getting kicked, I'm fine. And I don't know how old the child was. I don't know if the child had special needs. I have no idea. Just going off the story. So to me, it's the mom's responsibility, not so much the flight attendant. It's the mom's responsibility.
Now, I have no issue with a child crying on a plane. Right? Now, I'm not saying I want to hear it. I just have no issue with it. Now, it depends on how old that child is. Because when your 8, 9, 10-year-old is sitting there screaming at the top of their lungs because the plane is descending, look, you should have known by now. Give that child some bubble gum. Let them ears pop. Something. That's on you as a parent. Fix that, right? But the kicking of the chair, and I've had this before, and I get so agitated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not above, excuse me, you know, I'm not above that. We're not traveling these next 3 hours like this.
Right.
Because next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go behind you and I'm going to kick your seat if you can't stop your child.
Right. But
we going
to
do?
Do you go to that level first conversation, or do you just look back, excuse me, ma'am, can your son is kicking my seat. Can you please stop him from doing that? Appreciate it.
Have to get there.
Yeah, but why do you have to go straight?
It should never.
It happens.
I know you don't have Tell Jr.
No.
But you wouldn't allow Tell Jr. to sit there and the solemn chop and karate kick the chair in front of him, or just act like he's playing the drums and kicking the chair in front. You wouldn't allow that.
Give him some Z-Quil. Hey. Give him some Z-Quil. Get on that plane. Hey, drink this. Sit down. Shut up.
How about this? If you start the discipline at the house, they don't do this nonsense there.
Well, true, but again, there's parts of the story that we don't have all the details to. All I'm saying is, I think it's great. You turn around, be like, hey, excuse me, ma'am, your son, could you? And she might not realize it, because I do think that when parents, especially single parents, are traveling solo, not so much single, but traveling solo with their child, they might not be paying attention to some of that other stuff. Where I would be very cognizant of, hey, did, like one or two kicks, I'm like, hey, excuse me, I think your son is kicking my chair. Would you mind? Tell him, appreciate it. That's it. I don't have to get it like, look, your son keeps kicking my chair. He's done it twice. If there's a third time, I'm going to sit behind you and I'm going to kick your chair. I wouldn't go to that.
All going right.
I wouldn't go to that. Why not? Not the first time. What if she didn't know he was doing it? She didn't see it.
I have a hard time believing that there's any parent not knowing what their child is doing sitting in the seat next to them. You know, and I'll tell you why. They're trying to block that child out because they've been getting on their goddamn nerves and they're hoping they're bugging somebody else. And that's all. The problem is now you don't want anybody telling you how to deal with your child. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Handle your child before I handle you. Plain and simple.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Handle your child before I handle you, because I can't handle your child.
Okay. So if someone said that to you, if their first...
My child does not...
No, hold on. If the first thing they said to you was, regardless of what the situation is, kicking chairs, whatever it may be, if they say, hey, either handle your child or I'm going to handle you, you're telling me you're going to be like, oh, thank you, sir. I didn't realize that was bothering you. I'm on top of it. No, you're going to be ready to fight him anyway.
Oh, no. There are no words after that. But... Because I'm not going to let you get the chance. I used to do that back in the day, let people get the first swing. But, you know, you learn nowadays you don't do that. But to this point, if this was for 10 minutes, even if it's for a minute, 60 seconds is a long time.
Well, I wouldn't have let it go 10 minutes.
That's my point.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone to those first couple kicks. Hey, ma'am, excuse me, your son's kicking the back of my chair. Would you mind? You know, we got a long flight.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. Initially, and then, but if it continues, now we got a problem. Now we got an issue. You're still stuck on phase one. I'm on phase four right now. I'm gonna need you to take care of handling your child. I get it. Some kids act different than others. I go with, you know, thank God. Thank God I was raised the way I was so I could raise my daughter the way I raised her. Because I watch her listen, and I'm like, yeah, nah.
I don't know what I'd do. I mean, I think there's a lot of times I'm thankful I don't have kids because I just don't know what type of parent I'd be and how I'd handle that. I don't know. I would hope I would handle things with decorum and... But I
know you well enough to know.
I have no idea. But also don't want to be that person that watches, you know, little TJ kick someone's chair and I'm just going to beat the hell out of him in the seat next to me. Just to
what, why'd you take him back to 1982?
Excuse me, flight attendant, can I have some ice? I need a little bag of ice. Do you have a phone book in the back that I could borrow? It doesn't leave any marks.
Excuse me, can you get on the intercom and ask if anybody has a belt? Yeah. No, and I really hate to hear people yelling at kids and all that other stuff, but let's be honest. When we were young, did it take the yelling? Did it take a spanking? Or did it take a, hey? And you snap back to a table.
Well, the A worked because you took enough spankings and beatings to know what's coming if you don't stop when they say that. They didn't start with the A and train you up.
I mean, of course. You do that at home so you don't have to worry about it when you go out in public. Yeah.
So I know what they mean. A. Like, you know exactly.
Or you take him to see Michael the movie and let Joe Jackson handle this for you, especially if you take him to see it in IMAX.
Wow. Traumatize them kids.
Hey, it worked for us. Oh, my goodness. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us, man. If you've made it this far, please do us a favor. Leave a comment. Let us know you made it this far. I will let you choose the word, whether you want to go to the previous story on the bonnets or you want to go to this one on the kids. Mm-hmm. Which word would you like everyone to leave this time, Terrell?
Oh, the bonnets or the kids?
But just go with kick.
Yeah. You know how I feel about bonnets. I'd rather be kicked in the chair than to be with somebody with a bonnet on.
Tab it, man. Oh, yes. I can't wait to see the comments below. Hey, do us a favor, please. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Justel, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit from the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool into rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah. Two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Sports got us heated, yeah, the refs missed the calls. Politics, man, we'll argue till the walls fall. Pop culture don't get us started on trends, but the laughter, my dude, that's where it all ends. You say tomato, I say nah, bro, it's time auto. You think we clashing? Nah, it's the dance of bravado. No winners, no losers, just stories to share. So pass me that bottle and pull up a chair. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the combo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.